Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's Mark Rawson. I'd like to welcome you to a new year and of course, another show of Spiritual Connections Radio. Here we are in 2014 and doing our first show for the year. As you know, my co-host that I always have on helping me with the show is Pamela Tor, and we're actually going to start off this year with interviewing her today. So she gets to switch her role a little bit. And I'm going to bring her in right away so we can just do hellos to everybody for the new year. Pam, are you there?
Hi, Mark, and hi, everybody that's listening tonight. It's wonderful to be your first guest of the year.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out a better way of starting the year. I was looking at all my guests, and I was like, you know what? We need to talk about Pam and the work that she does. I know I kind of talk about it on a number of the shows where I hint about, some of the classes I've taken from you and, all the different experiences I've had with you when I lived in Florida and stuff like that. So I'm going to start this show off, first of all, by giving out a couple of your websites, and then I'm going to lead into the story about how we met and stuff like that, because you know me, I love telling a story about how I meet people. So we're going to start with to check out Pam's website, go to www.pamelalator.com. So that's PamelaLator.com. And then, of course, to check out her radio show and her radio show network, which we're going to talk about during the show today, to www.pamelalatorradio.com. And, of course, we're going to learn more about that during the interview tonight. So as the story goes, I had a friend who I was kind of doing a lot of spiritual work from one of my other healing groups and one of the other groups that I have been traveling with for probably about 3 years now. And when I was talking to him, he said, oh, my goodness, you have to go over and check out this teacher, especially now that you're down in Tampa, Florida. And, I'm always looking for great people to learn from and stuff. And I was like, all right, so what's going on? He says, oh, my goodness, she teaches the most amazing things. You got to go find out where she's teaching. And I started searching around. Sure enough, I found that Pam was teaching, I think it was right near Busch Gardens.
Yeah, it was. That's
and,
right.
Yeah.
A little
and
place
it was a
called
series,
Rain Dragon.
Yeah. It was a series of classes. And a lot of it just got into a whole bunch of topics that I had never touched on before, even with all the reading and studying I had done in all different spiritual areas. I had yet to get into sacred geometry or studying of the Flower Life books or anything like that. And just basically walked into this class and was just totally blown away. And for two reasons. Or I should say for three reasons. First of all, her husband is absolutely amazing to sit down and talk to. And,
thank
of course,
you. That's wonderful.
And her teachings are absolutely incredible. And then, of course, as you see with any great teacher, the people who get drawn to the class are just an amazing group of people to sit and talk to. And, you know, for that reason, it was just the most amazing experience. A lot of material covered, a lot of advanced topics that I had never seen taught before. Just absolutely amazing. And then we would actually do exercises in class that I had never seen done before. So I was like, wow, you know, this is just, you know, totally amazing. So, you know, from there it led into other classes and then basically doing more work with Pam one-on-one with development of websites and other technology stuff and research and then eventually what you see today, which is Spiritual Connections Radio. I had gone to her house that she was basically doing construction on and found out that not only is she a spiritual teacher, but she swings a hammer. you know, thought I had moved into the set of, you know, this old house or whatever as far as watching this construction be done. And I remember approaching her. I had sat down with her and shared, you know, some of my experiences of being on The Woman's View and, you know, carrying, you know, shows on there and, you know, telling her about some of the ego issues I was seeing with my co-host at that show and, you know, basically said, you know, they've asked me to leave and I just don't know what to do. And, you know, Pam turned to me and said, you know what, why don't we go start our own radio network? And I said, okay. So, you know, thus spawned Spiritual Connections Radio. So, you know, going along with that theme, I guess we'll just kind of keep on rolling and say, you know, after working with Pam for, I don't know, was it a year? I don't even know how long it's been since we started Spiritual Connections Radio.
I think it was like a year last fall, the end of September, October.
And I remember Pamela came to me and said, you know, I've decided that I'm going to actually go and start these other shows and everything, and I was just so excited about that and seeing her create PamelaLatourRadio.com. And so why don't we go ahead and just talk about, I'm going to do this in a whole different order. I was going to start the usual, you know, were you born with this kind of thing. We'll get to that later. But tell me about the radio. Tell me about Pamela Latour Radio.
Well, probably the strongest and most interesting fun show that I do is the one that I do regularly. And I do that with Dr. Kelly Brady. It's a show called Insights and Umbrellas. And we do that every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. This show, it's not like a class I used to give. It's not like that or like a seminar or workshop because radio is different. You can just touch on things, give a few tips, maybe an insight here and there as to how things can be, the perspective on looking at something can be shifted. But there really isn't any, I don't think you can share a lot of deep insights in one show. It's gotta be something that continues on a weekly basis, like Spiritual Connections. So that show, I think, is a powerful show that gives a little bit every week, and it builds on itself. I think I just got a message today from someone on Facebook that said that she's finally starting to put things together, listening to the shows every week. So those sort of messages I love. You know, I love listening to people having wins and really understanding things that maybe they didn't before. So that's a Thursday morning show, and then there is I do several other shows. There's once a month show called Soul Traveler, which is also a fascinating show. It doesn't build on itself because it's only a once a month show, but I do the show with a woman named Patricia McGivern, who is a hypnotherapist. Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you about Dr. Kelly Brady on the Thursday morning show. Dr. Kelly Brady is a psychotherapist and a Chinese doctor and an amazing, brilliant person. And I just really love to do the show with her because she's funnier than hell, and we just laugh through the whole thing. And that's another thing. It's kind of a light view of sometimes very serious subjects. So, so anyway, let's go back to the Tuesday morning or Tuesday evening show. Soul Traveler is with Patricia McGivern, who is a hypnotherapist. And as a hypnotherapist, she works with people who come to her for different issues, probably smoking and weight and the normal things that people go to a hypnotherapist for. But she's worked with Dr. Brian Weiss, you know, the man that did Many Lives, Many Masters. And she studied with him and therefore has taken many people back into past lives. And so she has people that have worked with her call into the show and tell us about their past lives. And it's always fascinating, really interesting, down-to-earth, authentic people telling us about their soul travel. So that whole thing is phenomenal. I'm always blown away at the end of the show. And then I do an experimental show, which will start airing in January, called The Girls, which is a group of ladies who have this intimacy group. Intimacy meaning sharing their heart, their thoughts, their emotions with each other about their lives, and the insights and the wisdom that comes out of this group is just absolutely phenomenal. And I've been privy to this for several years since I've been back in Florida, and decided that it's just such a waste that it doesn't get heard by more people. So I started recording the sessions. And now I have enough sessions that I'm going to start playing them. And that's wonderful, too. So I have several other shows coming up. It's really it's turned into a phenomenal group of women right now. But and we definitely need some male energy on the radio. So Mark, you're welcome to jump in here anytime.
Oh, yeah. So that's incredible. Yeah, I was looking at the website, which is PamelaTorRadio.com. And I was going to ask you about that I noticed that you had that new show. Has that actually aired yet, you know, the experimental one?
No, it's going to start probably the third week in January. But I'll put it on Facebook and I'll make sure that on the show on Thursday evenings we'll talk about it before the actual airing so people hear about
it. Yeah,
that'd
be great. Yeah.
Thanks.
So so it's just really incredible to see, you know, and it, you know, my view of it, you know, I know a friend of mine was talking about it, and he was giving the male view on it, and he's like, well, you know, look at this, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, you know, you have to realize that the more light we have, and it doesn't matter where it comes from, the better off we are on the planet. It's like, you know, you look at all the different teachers that are out there, all the different, different movies and everything. I think that's the thing I saw for it, the push at the end of 2013, was just a lot of TV shows and a lot of movies that are really spiritual are starting to come forward, which is amazing. And I think, you know, the more we have out there, the better off we're going to be, you know, especially if we can kind of teeter some of this negative stuff. I mean, if you look at, you know, all the broadcast networks and all the news and everything like that, it's so negative. And, you know, for us to bring forward, you know, all these great people that we find to interview and to share their gifts and their ideas on the radio is such a great thing for the world. And
I agree with you.
Yeah. You go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say that what happens when you reach out into the internet, out into the air, and people start listening to your show every week, they get to know you as a person. You know, I've never been really much of a guru. I've never wanted to be a guru. I am as authentic as I can be. I examine what I say often to make sure that I'm not taking someone else's power. In other words, I think that happens frequently when people go to someone who is a teacher, and this teacher has studied an aspect of spirituality. For example, when you came into my classes, those people were there because no one had studied it as much as I had studied it. But the concept really comes down to you don't want to put yourself in a position where people put you on a pedestal, or they somehow think that you are a guru figure. And if you run into anybody like that, run the other direction, because no one knows more than you know about you. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Let me explain it in another way. We all are connected by love, but we all are also connected by these, I often call them mental viruses, that penetrate humanity. It's like the 100th monkey concept, where you've got 100 monkeys that are washing their potatoes in the water. Do you know that story, Mark?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I think most people do. Where you hit a certain tipping point, and it moves from just a few people knowing it to everybody knowing it. And there's mental viruses that really predominate humanity. Abandonment, betrayal, and shame. We talked about it on this morning's show with Dr. Kelly Brady. We were talking about the same issues. And these primary sort of, I guess they are, they're mental viruses that penetrate humanity, that everybody experiences the same thing. The trick, I think, to living an authentic life is to overcome the fear of having other people see you for your shame or your abandonment or your betrayal. Those things everybody feels. And we also build these defenses to try to stop people from seeing us the way that we really are, or the way that they think we're afraid of being. And so we've got all these defenses up, and it stops us from being real. And then we meet a teacher and we say, oh yeah, she knows or he knows, and we don't. And that whole thing, I mean, certainly you go to people who know more than you do, because on different subjects, because you want to expand your knowledge, don't want to give them your power. Does that make any sense? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does.
We talk and to people all the time. go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that was, the difference between, I guess, the way you and I teach compared to other people is that we just kind of put ourselves out there, and, you know, we both have that concept where we understand that you can't change anybody. The only thing you can do, or I should say, you can't teach anybody. And the only thing you could do is just basically set an example by who you are.
Right.
And, you know, by that, that's what people will learn to take or not take. You know, I always tell people a couple of different things when I teach. You know, one is that, you know, whatever I'm teaching is what makes sense to me today. Ask me again tomorrow, I might have a different way of looking at it. I also tell people, you know, take what you want from what I teach, and, you know, what doesn't fit or vibrate or whatever for you, just throw it away. And, you know, I've done that with some teachers. You know, there's a lot of teachers that I followed that, you know, it's initially, you know, I've been down that road. I put the teachers up on the pedestal. And, you know, you realize that they're just human like everybody else. And, you know, so you kind of learn a lot of lessons as you go, you know?
Absolutely. Well, another thing, let's talk about fear for just a minute, because this has a lot to do with it as well. I think that a lot of people, as I said, have this defense going up because of this basic fear of not wanting people to really see who they are. Now, this fear creates an unauthentic life. It creates a feeling of always having your defenses up, never really letting people in. It separates you. It creates this isolation. And one of the things I try to do in my classes is to reconnect people and to drop those defenses and to get them to really look at each other and to get them to really listen to each other. Which kind of brings me to another topic. I've, in a similar vein, I have just this morning, Dr. Kelly Brady and I have decided together to co-teach a one-day spiritual retreat called, I think it's on February 22nd, and it's called Leading a Fearless Life. It's on February 22nd, which is a Saturday, and it's called Leading a Fearless Life. And I expect this to be an amazing day. I'm sure it will be, actually, because if you've ever listened to Insights and Umbrellas, her and I work very well together. As I said, she's a brilliant woman, and she has a lot of interesting ideas. We come from different directions. In other words, I come from the perspective of the quantum field and the ability to change the quantum field, trust in the universe, and that balance. You know, and you know, we've talked about this before. So many guests on this radio show, Mark, where they've said, no, you can't create anything in life. You just have to turn it over to God. Or you can create things in life, and you just have to use the law of attraction. But, and there's so many concepts here in moving in different directions that I think people get confused. And the truth is that the process of attraction or creation is the same thing that happens with every other part of life. You have to have a level of balance. You have to have a level of intention. This is how I want to live. This is who I want to be. It's a level of beingness. And then a balance of releasing it to the universe and trusting and not holding the responsibility of it. You know, in the Keys of Life, and I think you might have done, I'm not sure you've done the Keys of Life seminar or not with me, Mark. The last key in the Keys of Life is surrender or release. In other words, after you generate this concept of creation, you let it go. Now, the whole focus on creation is interesting. Changing the quantum field, that means basically that everything that we experience isn't the way, really, that we experience it. Matter is composed of nothing. In other words, we basically live in an illusion or a dream. And by focusing, you generate or recreate the quantum field into the experience that you would like to have. But it's a lot, it's not really like they show you on the television when you watch The Secret, for example, or you read one of Rhonda Byrne's books, even though she's got it right. That's basically how you do it. You ask, you believe, and you receive. But there's an aspect to it that she doesn't talk about, and that is that when you begin changing the quantum field, this concept of belief doesn't always come automatically. You remember in the 70s, at least when I was growing up, and Louise Hay's book was out, and she was, you know, there's lots of talk about affirmations. Affirmations were everywhere. And, you know, you were supposed to go and look in the mirror and say, I'm beautiful. This is not from Louise Hayes. I'm just paraphrasing. I'm beautiful. I'm rich. Whatever you wanted to be, you would tell yourself you already were. Well, the problem with that was basically that you didn't believe it. And that's the primary problem with most people when they use the law of attraction or they try to change the quantum field to change their experience. Because the concept of belief has to happen in the body. The body is your subconscious. And your body believes everything you think. Your body believes everything. So when you begin, you say, okay, fine, I'd like to have a new car, or I'd like to be enlightened, whatever your choice is. And there is no separation between materialism and spirituality. It's all the same thing. People get trapped in one or the other by separating it. But the truth is that having a new car is just as spiritual as going to church in many ways, because they both change the quantum field and they both come from the same source, your divinity. Now, why does it happen with one person and not another? It happens with one person because they get their body to believe it's true. And this is something that The Secret, it hints at but doesn't really explain. If you get your body to believe that whatever you want to change will is true already, your body goes into auto-create and generates that experience. Now, it's also important, saying that, to take the other side of the coin as well and say, all right, I am open to accept this creation that because I feel it's something that I want or need or would love to be, do, or have. However, I'm open to receive this or something better based on my highest good that I know the universe is going to bring me. And you put it into the level of trust and send it out for the universe or God or whoever you believe actually is the quantum field. You put that out there for the universe to bring that back to you. And what I mean by whatever is the quantum field is because we know for certain that the field itself, the energy that's around you, the walls and the ceiling and the floor and the 60 trillion reactions in your body every second all has the same intelligence running through it. We all have this intelligence running through us. And touching on that divinity is what generates things very quickly, as long as you don't try to force it.
Well, I think what you said about how, how people separate, how they're going to get their inspiration or their enlightenment is the same philosophy that I think we've both seen in coaching people. And that is, there's so many people who come to me and say, you know what, I want to become this light worker. And I'm going to go leave my job doing X so I can go off and do Y. And in a lot of situations, sometimes the answer I give them is not one they want to hear. And that is, you could be doing your work of bringing light into whatever job you are. And sometimes you just have to kind of, put light on it. There's an interesting way of saying it. Putting light on exactly what it is that they do so that they can actually see what it is they're doing. As an example, there was a nurse I was working with once, and she works in the critical, the
ICU.
The ICU, there we go. And she's like, I really want to just go out and, I want to leave this and go do healing work. And I said, well, if you go and you get certified to do something like your Pearls Reconnective Healing, which doesn't really have any hand gestures or movements like most energy work would, I said, you basically can walk around the ICU, basically sending out love and healing in the space that you're working. And she's like, wow, I never thought, I always thought I was going to have to leave this job to go and do something, be, more spiritual.
That's good. That's really insightful.
Yeah, so lots of times people don't realize that they can bring their light into wherever they work. You don't have to go off and get another job. And I think it's interesting. A lot of my friends always pick on me because I always blanket clause everything. Like, everybody agrees that we're going to do this, or I believe that 100% of people agree, you know, and they're like, no, Mark, it's not that, you know. So I'll just simply say that I think most people, not all.
Right. Tell me something,
generally,
Mark.
Yes.
How many times a day would you say that you have a thought that is on the edge of fear, like worry or concern or downright fear? How many times a day do you think you, as an average person, would have a thought of fear?
You know, for myself, I would say, you know, because what is the numbers we're talking about? If we talk about how many thoughts a day an average person has, I'm not talking about fear. I'm talking about, you know, usually you hear somebody say that we have about 60 thoughts a day.
60,000. Yes.
Yeah, something like that, right? And
right.
I think for most people, you could probably say that 50% of that, you know, 50% of that time, or, you know, it's probably more interesting not to ask how many times a day do we have bad thoughts. It's how many times a day are we either in the past, in the future, not being present. And,
well, that's true.
You know,
that's true. But my focus was gonna bring it around to how many times a day people feel like they don't have security, like they don't have safety in some way. News often does that to us. You know, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the answer to your question is in regards to me. I'd have to say, you know, based on if we're going with 60,000 thoughts a day, I would have to say that maybe 100 of my thoughts are negative or fear-based per day. And that is probably a very, very low number. But then again, I've been doing so much personal work for so many years that, you know, like, lots of times you hear a lot of people talk about how they have a lot of negative self-talk in their head, not even fear-based. And I look at it and I said, you know what, I think for probably 4 or 5 years now, I don't think I've had, you know, any type of what I would call negative self-talk in my head. Like, for me, I just don't, it just doesn't be there. But, you know, it also comes from doing a lot of inner child work, a lot of other work, and, you know, and stuff like that. But I get where you're going with that, and that is, you know, I think for a lot of us, you know, there is a lot of negative fear and everything that is there.
Well, you know, I think generally people have, they survive on this sort of thought roller coaster where they're thinking about what they're going to do later today. They're thinking about what happened earlier or what happened 2 weeks ago or what happened 10 years ago and what they're going to have for dinner tonight and what's going to happen tomorrow. And all of their thoughts spin them around and create this sort of, one minute you feel like you've met your standards in whatever subject you're thinking about. Say, for example, you feel like you're a good cook and you're going to make this wonderful dinner tonight, and it makes you feel good. And the next minute you think about how you're not good at something else, or that taxi pulls out in front of you and you almost bump them, and you generate this anger and this upset. And then you think about how this is going well, and then your son is late for you know, coming home in the evening, and you're worried about him, and you've got this up and down and up and down and up and down, and by the end of the day, you're just damn exhausted. And
mm-hmm.
The focus that I wanted to bring to the listeners tonight was freedom from fear and a little more security and a little more safety. And certainly you can't do that in a one-hour show, but you can, mm-hmm. you can give a few tips that I wanted to discuss tonight. For example, the question of beingness when you're generating change in your world is important, because if you create something in your life, I want a new car, I want a new job, I want a new spouse, I want a new whatever it is, new clothes, whatever, and you generate this energy, I want to be a rock star, I want to be the president of the United States, I want to be whatever it is, that whole focus, if at the moment that you create it, it carries a certain vibration or a certain energy. But in the next minute, if your thoughts are bringing you way down into fear, your vibration isn't going to match that new creation, and therefore the quantum field won't change. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So what I want to say is I really believe absolutely 100% that it's vital to write down a level of beingness for yourself and to remind yourself who you are every day, because your body believes everything you think, and your body believes everything you feel, and then your body moves into automatic creation, and begins creating experiences to prove that to you, because we always experience what we believe. So if you want to change your experience, you need to change your belief about you, about who you are, about what vibration you can take. So let's say, for example, you decide that you want a new job, and this job you want to be more of an executive than you are at the moment, and you want to lead people in a direction that maybe your boss isn't taking his team at the moment. And you have all these ideas in mind that you believe would really shift things for the company that you work for. So you begin seeing yourself as this executive. You begin seeing yourself as this leader. And Mark, for whatever reason, I'm seeing you in this position. Maybe I'm picking this up from you. And and seeing you in an executive role, leading a team of people into a financially wonderful position for both the company and for yourself. So you see yourself there, and so you sit down and you write it out. I'm so happy and I'm so grateful now that this is who I am. I'm an executive that leads by example, that leads with respect, that leads with love. And you write it out in a way that everybody that works for me goes home at the end of the day feeling better about themselves than they did when they got there in the morning. You know, you write it in a way that in your own words, but you write it in a way that makes you feel, when you read it, like your energy has expanded into all of those people, into that circumstance, into that situation. Now, the trick is to get your body to believe it's already true by emotion. You know, when you watch a horror movie, and I've given you this example many times, but when you watch a horror movie, you know that the guy with the axe isn't going to jump out of the TV and hit you with the axe. You're pretty clear on an analytical level that nobody is chasing you. But yeah, your body goes into fight or flight.
Which brings up a whole another discussion of thank goodness we can't manifest things immediately.
Absolutely true. So you know, you've got to get your body to believe it's true. Because if you say to yourself in the mirror, yes, I'm an executive, I'm doing good, but your body doesn't believe it. The emotion is not there. The passionate emotion to get it like the emotion sinks it into the cells. I really believe that that's true. The more you can feel it's real, the more it just is absorbed by your cells. And your cells are this powerhouse of trillions of units of awareness that we don't realize. You know, the cell is the smallest unit of awareness that we know of. Your cells are aware and alive and are aware of what you're thinking and are aware of what you're feeling. And this is scientifically true. That means
it's
go ahead.
And it's also interesting to see that, you know, when you have buried emotions or things you haven't processed, such as trauma, that you see disease starting to be created in the body because of it.
That's true as well. So even this even works with health. And I've got to tell you, it is the most powerful thing I've found. And don't forget to say, at the end of this creation, I am open to receive this experience or something better. Because
you know, I actually got a question
ahead.
On that the other day, because you remember the interview that we did with Tasha Silver? And I
She's
had
one of my favorite people. You know, did I tell you that her and I went to the same high school in the same year and we knew each other?
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, all together now, small world.
Yeah, she's a great lady. I really have grown to love her. She's on my Facebook page. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah,
about her.
Yeah, and I do agree with you. I do agree that I teach a lot of different things on relationships and finding your soulmate and on creation and all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, one of the things, like I said, is exactly what you did, and that is I always teach people to always put in things such as with grace and ease and for my highest good and this or something better. You know, it's kind of like emergency catchphrases that I like to have in place. But I think someone actually pointed this out to me the other day, and I think I had said something like that on our radio interview, and I think Tasha had stepped up and said, no, you really don't need to do that either, because if you are handing it over, and for people who didn't catch the interview, she was talking about how you basically turn everything over to divine guidance and just basically surrender it and stuff like that. And with that idea, you don't really have to say this or better, because the divine and whatever presence you believe already knows what's for your highest good. So, but personally, I agree, because remember, and I remember there was a discussion at a retreat I did out in California a couple weeks ago, and we actually raised this question to one of the teachers that was there, that we had said, I noticed that you're working with a master healer, so why is it that you're afraid of some of the darkness you're working with? And the person said in that instance, it's because, remember, I'm the one that's dealing with it, and we kind of move upward and downward in our vibration. So even though we're kind of protected by all these great things around us, I'm the individual who's dealing with this. So I think the same thing comes into play when we talk about manifesting. Yes, we can turn it over to divine guidance. We can say this or something better, but the nature of it is we're the ones that are involved in that part of the creation process, and, you know, we're the ones that have to kind of have that connection with that belief, and that's why it's important to say this or something better. Let me just take a quick break before we finish this, because I like to just let everybody know that you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. You can find out more about Pam and her radio shows and everything. The links are up on the main website under her listing on the show for this evening for her links, which, of course, is PamelaTour.com and PamelaTourRadio.com. And you can find those links up on the website along with other radio show information at SpiritualConnectionsRadio.com. You heard both of us talking about Tasha Silver. We're actually airing a special show this Saturday, January 4th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to do both of her radio interviews back-to-back. So if you did miss her show, of course, you can always go back to the archives and pull the show anytime you want and download it. But we're actually going to air her radio interview 1 and her radio interview 2 this Saturday. So if you missed it and want to just pick it up back-to-back, we're actually going to air it this weekend. So right back to you, okay. Pam. We were discussing manifestation, and I think one of the interesting things that always comes into play is that, you know, what is fear more than just us trying to go into something where we're uncertain of, something unknown, and how when it really comes down to it, it really involves surrender and trust to understand that we are guided and that we are protected and that, you know, everything's going to turn out for our highest good.
I think that's very true. And I think that as a culture, what we suffer from the most is a lack of security, a lack of safety, and a feeling like we have to do it all and we're not protected. And, you know, I actually love what Tosha was saying, Tosha Silver, about this concept of it's not, you don't have to take it on, you know, as your responsibility to make things happen. And the law of attraction, as well as any religion that you're going to tune into, as well as any frame of thought that takes on a group consciousness, it can very easily become a trap in itself. The law of attraction, for example, I think her point was this whole concept of creating or generating or attracting things to you becomes such a heavy load for most people because they don't look at life like they're protected, like they're being helped in any way. Where her focus was, you have to trust and you have to turn it over. You know, she talked about the God box. Personally, I use angels frequently. You know, this concept of turning it over to angels and letting them do it. Whatever, you know, imagination generates reality. So whether you believe in a religion, whether you believe in angels, whether you believe in the universal energy giving you what you want, it really doesn't matter because your belief is always going to show you that that's what's true for you. Whatever you believe is like a filter on your camera. When every time you look, you put that blue filter on, and every time you look, you're looking through that blue filter. So after a while, you start believing that the world is blue, when in truth, it's the filter that you put on there. It's the belief that you chose to have. So this concept of believing in something, in the universe, in angels, in the trust of the fact that life is taking care of you is a powerful aspect of this creative process. First of all, I think that you really need to know what you want. And that concept of really knowing what you want and then turning it over to another source, whoever you decide to turn it over to, that is absolutely wonderful, and that brings the balance into the whole process. But I do believe that you also have to pay attention to what you're telling your body because your body does believe everything you think and feel, and your body is a piece of this huge hologram that we call the physical universe. And as part of that hologram has access to the entire thing, true that we're not alone, that we're not doing it alone. The entire, you know, but once you turn it over and say, okay, I trust that this is returning to me, it's like touching on that universal divinity that of everything that is. It's like this one little piece of the hologram reaching out and touching the entire piece. And if it's true that you have trillions of aware cells in your body, those trillions of aware cells pay attention to what you think and feel and generate experiences for you because they too are part of this universal force. You know, when I was a little girl in Catholic school, the nuns used to tell me God is everywhere. And it just was so hard for like a 6 and 7 year old child to grasp this. What do you mean? He's in the walls? He's in my eyeball. He's in the ceiling. What do you mean he's everywhere? And, you know, they would get frustrated with me and ask me to stop talking or asking questions. But the truth is that it is God in whatever form you want to believe him to be or her to be, is actually in everything. Everything. The entire physical universe is made up of this divinity. So the more you touch that divinity, the higher your power becomes. And it's lovely to say, I'm going to create something by imagining it and then turning it over to the universe, because the universe knows more about what's better for me than I do. That's a powerful perspective, simply because people get trapped in this idea that they have to make it happen, because your individual ego can't make shit happen.
True.
You know, you got to get your body to believe it's real and then release it as if, you know, I don't have to make this happen. The universe is going to make it happen. Now, Tosha and I differ slightly, because I have a very firm foundation in the process of getting my body to believe it's true and then just releasing it and believing completely that it's true, and then reminding my body it's true, reminding my body every day, yes, this is what's true, or that, or something better, that I'll be so surprised about, that I'll be so amazed about. And so if I follow that route, that always works. What has trapped me in the past, and what I see in a lot of people in my classes, is feeling like it's all up to them, and they have to somehow, with their willpower, their solar plexus chakra, they somehow have to force things into existence by closing their eyes and squeezing their body tight enough, believing, even though it's not really a belief, it's a pressure. It's a very subtle concept, belief, a very subtle concept, where if you know for sure it's coming, then you know for sure it's coming. That's the concept of belief. Patience is when you know for sure it's coming. And it's a level of trust that there should be no pressure there at all. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because, you know, we talk about what we believe, you know, because some people believe, like you, you know, and I'm not singling you out, because I think everybody is kind of in the same category. It's like you said, you need to check in and see what you believe and stuff like that. And, you know, I wonder if we're able to shift over to fully surrendering and understanding that the divine has it and that we can trust in that process. Maybe that, you know, I guess what I'm getting to is it is what we all believe. I mean, for some people, they don't heal unless there's crystals involved. There's some people who you can do the same type of healing technique, but if you don't call on the angels, then, you know, for them, you know, those individuals might not get a healing. So I think it's all about where you're at and what you believe. And I think, you know, if we talk about going in the direction of what she teaches in her book, to believe and surrender and trust in the divine handling everything and kind of handing everything over to that, I think you have to truly believe that to get into that space to allow that to be the process.
Okay. I think that's probably why there's
so many healing modalities, is because there's a lot of people on this planet, and we're not all going to basically stand up and get healed by Reiki. You know?
Well,
it's the, you know,
it's also true that people love ceremony and people love ritual. You know what I did for New Year's? We had this amazing community, And well, first we ate a bunch of fondue and drank a bunch of wine. And then we went out and we built this big bonfire at midnight. And we wrote out what it is that we would like to be, do, and have this year. Now, this covered the gamut of closer relationships to higher self-awareness, enlightenment. I mean, living an authentic life. It really covered a huge gamut. And we put our creations that we'd written out into the fire and watched them burn and go into the universe. And, you know, people love ceremony. People love ceremony. And you can create ceremony in many different ways in your life. You can create ceremony by getting up every morning and reading who it is that I'm being today. You could write something beautiful for yourself, like, today I breathe in bliss and share that magic with the world. I breathe in gratitude and share that magic with the world. Today, this is who I am. Today, no matter what happens, I'm going to have a hell of a good time. You can write something wonderful for yourself and then live it, because your life is a creation. Your life is an expansion, and every time you think of something new, every time you want something else, it takes this universe into an expanded state, a little more of an expansion. So the concept of creating your world and believing yourself in that world to be a reality is just as real as sitting in your bedroom right now, or sitting in your office right now, or sitting in your car right now. That's just as real. And if you start believing that, all you have to do is imagine it and feel what that would feel like, and then trust, completely turn it over to whatever you believe are the powers that be, whether you believe it's this intensely intelligent universal energy, or whether you believe there's an entity called God the Father, or whether you believe in angels, or whether you believe in crystals, whatever you believe in, it really doesn't matter what you believe in, because once you decide this is how life is for me, your body and your world will show you that to be true. And then you're free to turn anything over and say, okay, fine, show me this or something better. Show me this or something better. I choose to be in your service today. That's always a lovely one. I choose to be at the service of the universe today.
All right, well, we're all wrapping up for the show, and as always, Pam, we always enjoy having you on the show every Thursday, and it was a great honor to have you on for the beginning of the year to be able to interview you and for all the great teachings and everything. As always, everybody, make sure to go check out her website, which is PamelaLatour.com, and her radio website, which is PamelaLatourRadio.com, And you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. Thank you, Pam, and have a great night.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.
life is but a dream.